You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies beat reporter, Todd Zielecki. Todd, we have reached what should be a really interesting offseason for the Phillies. Not entirely sure what to expect, and I'm not sure they know what to expect. I think the thing I wanted to ask you about first is, I don't know if you'd call it mixed messages so much as kind of different ways to frame the same message from the front office. They've talked about patience and maybe looking at a couple years from now, and they've talked about we don't rebuild. What's the Phil's mindset as far as building a contender in 2015, or it maybe taking a little longer than that?
I think now they've finally come to the conclusion that it's going to take longer. And really, almost as soon as Pat Gillick took over as interim president, the talking points for Philly's front office officials has kind of shifted from, we still have a good group of guys here, and if everybody plays up to their capabilities, we can still win. And now it's more of, yeah, maybe we hung on to the core too long. You know, Gillick said a couple weeks ago, probably not going to win again or contend again until 2017, 2018, and I think they've just finally kind of come to grips with the fact that even if everybody is healthy, they're not going to be able to, it's just not going to be enough to kind of put them over the top. So now I think they're kind of looking more, all right, who can we trade? Who can we get the most value for to kind of jumpstart this rebuilding process?
It does seem like there is one potential option that could both make the 2015 team better and help in the long run, and that's Yasmani Tomas. He seems to have gotten a lot of attention from a lot of clubs, but it definitely seems like the Phillies are one of the teams at the forefront. What do you think is, A, their level of interest, and, B, the likelihood that they could get that deal done?
Well, there are definitely people in the organization that are interested in him. A lot of people have seen him so far, and some people think that, you know, he could be a productive power-hitting corner outfielder. I think, though, you know, there certainly is some risk involved. So now all of a sudden you start, if it does kind of get up into that $100 million range, I think that could maybe scare them off a little bit if the price drops. I certainly would think that it would be in there. But if they're confident in their scouting and if they're confident this guy can hit, it makes a lot of sense for them, because even if, say, they would sign into a 7-year, $85 million deal, that's a lot of money. But you'd be getting him, he turns 24 this month, so you'd be getting him, you know, seasons 25 to 31 or whatever. So you'd be getting him in the prime years of his career. And quite frankly, they don't have anybody of that nature in their system right now that's remotely close to competing for a big league job in the next couple of years. So you would kind of fill one big vacancy in your lineup and in your organization by getting a young corner hitting power hitting outfielder. So it makes a lot of sense. They have the resources to do it, but I think it's going to come down to, okay, how high can we go on this guy for a guy that, you know, it really is, there is some risk involved now. You know, a lot of these Cuban players have really done a fantastic job, but, you know, I think maybe the Phillies are going, all right, is this going to be the guy that is not going to perform up to expectations? And, you know, that could give them some pause. But I personally think they got to go for it, you know, take the risk, roll the dice, and then hope for the best.
Is it accurate to say that whether it's Tomas or somebody else, and really whether it's near-term or long-term, that kind of reconstructing the next really good Phillies lineup is priority one?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. The Phillies have said, you know, they want to improve their starting pitching. You know, they don't have a lot of starting pitching right now, which is true. But, it seems nowadays the game has shifted more towards the pitching end, and good hitters are harder to find. So I think the Phillies look at their lineup and they say, all right, we need to find some guys that can get on base and knock the ball out of the ballpark a little bit more consistently. And so I do think that when it comes to trades this offseason, they're going to be trying to get as many bats as humanly possible. But, you know, if they they can't get a bat, you know, they'll certainly take that a strong quality, you know, starting pitching type of guy. Bullpen, they're okay. They have a lot of young up-and-comers in the bullpen, so I think that's the one position of the team they feel pretty good about. But they just do not score enough consistently. And as some of these guys get older, Utley, Howard, Rollins, Marlon Byrd, you know, they got to replace them somehow. Like I said earlier, in regards to Tomas, they just don't have a lot of guys in the system ready to step up and take anybody's place.
You mentioned the rotation, and that's certainly also got to be a priority. We just learned recently that A.J. Burnett is at least not opting in, and it sounds like is going to be somewhere else in 2015. And in the absence of Burnett and with an enormous question mark next to Cliff Lee's name, what does the 2015 Phillies rotation look like?
Well, we know the four spots right now, and that's Hamels, Lee, assuming he's healthy. He's supposed to begin his throwing program this month. He missed like the second half of the season with an injured left elbow. They expect him to be healthy come spring training, but elbow injury, older pitcher, throwing a lot of innings, you never know how he's going to hold up. Jerome Williams, who they just re-signed, and David Buchanan, who was a rookie last year, who they think has some promise. So you have four spots right there, but you're certainly not going to go through a season. You need at least one more starter, and you certainly need more than that to get through a season. I think what they're going to do is they're going to look at more of the low-end guys, guys you might be able to sign on a one-year deal, guys you might be able to sign on a two-year deal, guy that might have had some success in the past is maybe coming back from an injury, you know, kind of a roll-the-dice type of situation. And I think that's the way they're going to go. Right now, they're when it comes to free agency and when it comes to veteran players, they're really, I think, just looking for guys that can kind of bridge that gap between last place team in 2014 and possible contender in 2017. They're not looking to go out and get a John Lester or a Scherzer, you know, sign a guy to a seven-year deal. They're looking to kind of, you know, more lower-end type of guys, like I said, number four-type starters, number five-type starters, and then just hope that Hamels and Lee, if they're still around all year, you know, that they pitch up to their capabilities and the rest of the guys kind of hold the fort down.
So are there pitchers in the pipeline? Are there guys coming along that they feel like in a couple of years they'll be excited to have as part of the rotation, or is it just it's not worth taking that risk right now and you get back in that market in a couple of years?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. I think the biggest thing is it's just not worth taking that risk right now on the long-term guy, especially with now that Pat Gillick's interim president. When he was GM of the Phillies, he tried as much as he could to hold by the rule of, I don't want to sign a starting pitcher along to a three-year deal. Now, that's not necessarily realistic if you want to sign a stud free agent starting pitcher. But now that the Phillies are in the position that they're in, I think Gillick, I would personally be stunned if they signed a starting pitcher to a four-year deal or longer. And I would be, quite frankly, I'd be surprised if they signed a starting pitcher to a three-year deal, unless they got just a great deal on somebody. So that's the biggest thing, is I just don't think that they feel it makes sense right now to go and spend a lot of money in this stage of the game. But they do have a couple guys. Aaron Nola, who was their first-round draft pick last year, I think that he's a guy that if he comes in this year and he pitches well in the minor leagues, and whether he starts in Double-A or starts in Triple-A and pitches with some success, they drafted this guy, and at the time they drafted him, they said this is a guy that could be in the rotation in 2015. So that's a guy, and Jesse Biddle is a former first-round draft pick, really struggled last year. He took a leave of absence for a while to kind of clear his head. They still feel that if he can kind of get his head on straight, that the stuff is there, and maybe he would be an option at some point. But so it's a combination of the two. But Aaron Nola, I will say, is a guy that I think fans should kind of keep an eye on, his kind of continued progress through the minor leagues.
And then there's the elephant in the room, something we talked about really a lot even during the season. The Phillies do have a lot of guys with a lot of miles on their odometers, and obviously that starts with Ryan Howard, but really includes Utley, includes Rollins, includes Lee. What do you think the chances are that one of those core guys gets moved before the season starts?
I think it's pretty good. I say that, and it probably won't happen, but I think that they're – well, let me put it this way. They're very motivated to move Ryan Howard, and whether or not – how realistic that is remains to be seen. but they definitely are motivated to move him. They're going to try to trade him to an American League team, and they know they're going to have to eat a ton of that salary. He's got $60 million remaining on the deal. If they can't do that, I mean, it wouldn't totally stun me to see them just flat out release him and move on. I think that they know they need to make some changes. They need to get younger. And this is a guy that, you know, production-wise, they feel they just have, you know, they need to go in a different direction. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with Rollins and Utley. Now that Gillick is kind of in charge of as interim president, I think they're more willing to move those guys. I think before it was like, hey, these are two iconic players. You know, how can we trade these two guys? But now I think if a right deal comes along, they will at least go to Rollins and Utley, who have complete no trade clauses, and say, hey, we'd like to trade you to Team X here. And they could say no. But you wonder now with Rollins and Utley, they were always under the belief that this team is going to do everything it can to win. Well, now Gillick has said, we're not going to win for at least two more years. So is Utley and Rollins, are they going to want to stick around in Philadelphia towards the tail end of their careers, knowing they're not going to be a contending team for a few more years? Maybe that changes their thinking in terms of their no-trade clauses.
All right. Well, Todd Zalecki, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.